life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. When the work's all done and the sun's setting low, pull out the fiddle and the rosin up the bow. Kids are asleep, so I keep a catalog. And thank God I'm a country boy. I'd play Sally Gooden all day if I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't take it very good. So I fiddle when I can, work when I should. And thank God I'm a country boy. A fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
I've just had a thought. Cowboys could take up playing the fiddle and give up rodeo. Rodeo, after all, is cruel to innocent, helpless animals, and playing a musical instrument is very good for our self-esteem. I think you'll agree that the world would be a better place if we took up playing music and stopped torturing animals. Well, it's a cowboy theme again today, and if you're a John Denver fan, as I certainly am, you've another track to look forward to at the end of the show. I looked for some mention of rodeos in John Denver playlists and didn't find them. I'd like to think that's because he didn't sing about them, because he didn't approve of them either.
Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy, yeah!
Nō mai, haere mai, Cassandra Kailaho, and you're with Safe and Sound, New Zealand's animal rights radio show, broadcasting from Free FM in the Waikato and played throughout New Zealand via the Access radio sector. We're sponsored by Village Organics, and their shop is in Commerce Street, Frankton, in Hamilton, opposite the Frankton Hotel. So go along and say hi to Ian and Brenda. Speaking of Village Organics, I have four children's books written and illustrated by my good friend Carly Massell. And the name of this book is called I Am Not Bacon. So if you'd like a copy for your child, go along to Village Organics, leave your details, and I will post them out to the first four people who register on the list. Well, today we're playing the second part of our interview with the wonderful Peggy Larson. 82 years young and not letting the grass grow under her feet one bit. An ex-US rodeo rider herself, a veterinarian and a lawyer with a master's in pathology, her expert services are still very much in demand in a variety of capacities for the benefit of other animals. And in particular, I might say, in the movement to end rodeo. Here in New Zealand, over the last few weeks, she has won hearts and done a sterling job talking, for example, about the hidden injuries animals suffer in rodeo. An animal could be suffering from a sprain, broken bone, muscle pull, blisters, and other wounds, and it would not be obvious at all to spectators, and maybe not even to vets. But how much suffering do they have to put up with after the rodeo, when they are back in the paddock or the feedlock? I must admit I've always admired about animals that they are so stoic, the way they cope with their pain, their physical and emotional pain. It's not unreasonable to expect that a calf, for example, who had damage done to his neck in calf roping, continues to be disturbed by the pain. Like many others, I find the calf roping event in rodeo abhorrent. It is heartbreaking to look at the videos, such as those that came out of the Mid-Northern rodeo last year, that showed a calf being swung into the air and slammed into the ground. I have seen close-up images that show the terror in these baby animals' eyes. When I contemplate what we do to animals in the name of entertainment, I feel distressed about it, and it makes me all the more determined to continue my own work to end the suffering of animals at our hands. And I must say that the apologists for rodeo really don't cut the mustard when it comes to defending it. Apologist-in-chief at the moment is Michael Laws, spokesperson for the New Zealand Rodeo Association. He was interviewed by Kim Hill a couple of weeks back, Some of you may have heard it, and I found it extraordinary to listen to him. He intimated that the Mid-Northern rodeo footage from last year had been doctored by animal rights activists. And he also said that calves are not like domestic animals and they can handle the rough treatment that they get. This brings another thought to my mind, and that is when people make a distinction between our pets and farmed animals, they are ignoring that farmed animals too feel pain in exactly the same way all animals, including us, do. They feel distress, loneliness. They have families they form attachments with. They want to have a pleasant life. They want to have a peaceful life. They don't want to live unnatural, foreshortened existences, and they don't want to have their throats slit so that we can eat them. As we can see on the internet, when animals are in sanctuaries and lead lives that are genuinely close with their humans, farmed animals can show themselves to be sensitive and loving, just as our pets are. Just this week, I was at a sanctuary where one of the Kuni Kuni pigs insisted on having his belly rubbed, grunting away with great satisfaction. Real characters, both these pigs were, and how lucky they were compared to the tens of thousands of other pigs in this country that are suffering appallingly in factory-farmed situations. So without further ado, let's go now to part two of Peggy Larson's interview.
Well, it's a bit like the fox guarding the chicken coop, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who is trying to support something is going to pick and choose on the information that they provide to support their particular project. And I think that the rodeo people have overlooked some of the real science involved here. You can't come to any conclusion based on one experiment, like Pajor did with the cortisol levels. I mean, that's like doing one experiment on breast cancer and saying, by God, we've got the answer for breast cancer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Research is a long, drawn-out process,
yeah.
Especially if you're studying hormones, because hormones tend to not be very consistent. It depends on the animal, it depends on the stress, it depends on so many things. But when you're looking at the real science of this, when you're looking at the actual damage under a microscope or on gross observation during an autopsy, it's very hard to refute that.
So speaking then as a scientist, can rodeos be made humane? What, for example, if there were no calf roping, no flank straps, no spurs, no electric cattle prods? I think they're illegal in New Zealand anyhow. But could we have a humane rodeo?
If you removed the bucking strap and removed the spurs and stopped calf roping, stopped the steer wrestling, then you would have a rodeo that was about as safe, that's in quotes, as it could possibly be. You're not causing the animal fear and pain in order to make it put on a show. The only problem with that is then your riders are not going to get the points.
Mm.
If the horse doesn't buck hard enough, the horse is graded on 50 points, the rider is graded on 50 points. So the rider may be a very good rider, but if the horse is just crow hopping, the horse will maybe get a 5 as far as his contribution for the event. So I don't believe that anybody would even bother with trying to organize a rodeo, you know, unless they could rope calves, use a bucking strap, and use spurs.
Right.
I'd be very shocked if they'd even bother with it.
Yeah, and it just shows how much they really do care about their animals. If they did, they would say, okay, well, let's give it a go. Let's take away all this equipment that's causing them pain and see if we can create another kind of rodeo.
Yeah, and, you know, just looking at it, then looking at it from your point of view, too, how many people would go to a rodeo to see some horse jump out of a chute, take a couple of jumps, and then walk off, you
know? That's right. Not exciting enough.
Yeah, the bulls would probably buck. You could probably still have some bulls that would buck because they're not like horses. They don't like riders on their back. Horses have been trained to accept riders.
Mm.
And so you're going to have the bulls will probably put on a bit of a show, but it certainly isn't going to be anything like what we have now, this bucking beyond their usual bucking ability, because they're forced into this by the spurs and the flank strap and so forth. They're put in a position to buck beyond what they would normally buck.
The rodeo enthusiasts talk about, for example, the camaraderie between the competitors and how the rodeos are such a enriching and lovely time for the competitors and their families and the spectators. It's a family outing, it's an opportunity to bond, it's celebrating New Zealand rural culture. There's that side of the rodeo. Do you want to make any comments about that?
Oh my, I do. Bonding over something that is abusive to animals is really not a very healthy bonding experience. And allowing children to be exposed to these terrified little calves that are knocked down and dragged and all of the fear that these animals have, this isn't anything you want to show to kids.
No.
And another thing, some of the rodeos allow kids to participate. I know that you folks stopped mutton busting here, thank God, but in the States, there was a little boy, I think he was about 8 years old, that was riding, I don't remember whether it was a sheep or a calf, but he got thrown off, and he got a mouthful of dirt. Well, he got an E. coli infection from the, you know, the fecal material that was in the surface of the arena, and his kidneys shut down. He darn near died. So you're, you know, exposing your children not only to the possibility of a disease, but when I explained what these people are allowing their children to do to my ex-husband is a neurologist. He's a medical doctor, and he was just appalled. He said that is child abuse, and he said one of these days, he said one of those kids is going to wind up quadriplegic.
Mm.
In other words, he's going to break his neck. Now, any person that would allow their child to do something like that really, I think, needs to be investigated by the child abuse people. This is this is nothing that you want to do to a little kid.
Undoubtedly, the events are stressful for the animals when they're in the rodeo, but they have to get to and from the rodeos, don't they? And the whole transport picture is also hard on the animals, is it not?
Yes, that's probably the lesser of the two evils. You know, it's worse when they get to the show and have to go into the arena and so forth. But it depends on how long they have to be trucked. Sometimes they're not watered properly. Many times, you know, if an animal goes down, especially these small calves, they can get injured. There's always an issue with trucking animals from place to place. And I understand here in New Zealand, sometimes they have to be trucked a bit of a distance.
Yeah.
So then you got a hot day like we had earlier this week. And summer in New Zealand is pretty darn hot for these animals.
Yes.
So you're jammed into a trailer going someplace, and the heat in there must be intolerable almost.
Piggy, last time you were on Safe and Sound, you told us something that I've never forgotten. You were training to be a vet, and you were shown by your tutor that you were doing a bit of comparative brain anatomy. He was pointing out the various specialist areas of the brain. This is for movement, this is for vocalization, and so on and so on. And it's like a penny dropped for you. You could see through evolution that we had evolved in such a similar pattern, and then you really understood the connection between us and other animals. Have I remembered it correctly?
Yes. I used to be in medical research. I worked in medical research for 10 years, and I was, or 7 years rather. At the time I was in vet school, I was working on a research project for the Department of Neurosurgery over in the Human Medical School. And my boss, who was an internationally renowned neurosurgeon, Bill Hunt, William Hunt, he used to take me down with him when we went to do autopsies on human brains. And so what he would do was he would go through, he would cut the brain, show me, you know, whether it was cancer or a stroke or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as he sliced through the brain, he would describe all of the anatomy of the brain, the amygdala, the hippocampus, the cerebral cortex, the cerebellum. And everything that he described or showed me, he would describe what that part of the brain did,
mm-hmm.
what the function was. Well, meanwhile, over in the veterinary college, I was dissecting animal brains in the anatomy class of different types of animals, horses, cattle, chickens, and lo and behold, except for the size of the brain, all of the functional parts of the brain were identical. So we all have a cerebral cortex, we all have an amygdala, we all have a hippocampus, we all have a hindbrain, we have a cerebellum, we have a cerebrum, we have optic nerves, we have everything going into that brain that that animals do. So that was when I realized that everything that we experience is experienced by animals. There's no refuting that.
Part of the difficulty anti-rodeo people have is that our laws sanction and normalise the mistreatment of animals. So quite apart from the particular and pointed abuse that animals suffer in Rodeo, the individual abuse, we have a culture in general that uses animals as commodities and minimises and trivialises their suffering. You might be aware that recently our lawmakers have acknowledged sentience in animals now, and that's been enshrined in New Zealand animal law. But it seems to be totally disregarded. Animals are seen as a means to an end, whether it be profit or entertainment or whatever. Do you have anything to say about that, Peggy?
Well, I think that you're absolutely correct when you say that animals are used as income-producing units in one way or another, whether you're selling sheep to China or whether you're shipping horse meat to some factory that will process them for human use or animal use. Humans seem to find various ways of making money. Money seems to be the thing that drives humans. I think the compassion is kind of getting evolved out of us. Of course, maybe I say that coming from the States, where I see much less empathy than I see here. But people will make a living, and they will use animals to make a living. The hogs in gestation crates, the hens in batteries, these are the really indescribably cruel ways to raise animals. I'm not a vegan. I'm not a vegetarian. I don't even know what latte is. I think it's some kind of coffee. But, the meat that I eat is raised in Vermont. I know the farm where I occasionally get to. I don't eat much meat anymore. I'm just cutting down on changing my diet a lot, but I'm eating very healthy. But I have a less objection to eating meat from a farm that is kind to their animals as they can be, that they raise them properly and kill them humanely. But in these mega farms, these factory farms, it's exactly the opposite. We have some hog farms in North Carolina in the States. These things are so huge that they've just absolutely polluted the environment, including the air around these plants, these hog plants. But they've polluted the water to the point where there's algae blooms and there's a lot of bacteria that, if it gets into humans, it'll kill them. So, you know, I wish that we could back off and continue to back off on using animals for food. I've certainly cut down over the years. I still haven't become a complete vegetarian, but I don't see where we have to eat six slices of bacon at one sitting or something like that. I mean, we eat way too much meat, I think.
Yeah. And that impacts our health as well. But
that's right.
You mentioned that you were eating more healthily. I've seen you on videos, and you look fantastic. You really do.
Well, I'm 82 years old, so you know.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
I'm getting up there. But, I'm not a young chick anymore, that's for sure. But I know there's been so many videos and stuff that have been taken so far that we had an interesting case, and I think it's on Facebook right now, but one of the MPs, he was overt for an interview, and he allowed us to put the electric prod on him, and you'll find that on the Internet.
Wow.
And we shocked him with the prod, and he howled like, you know, he hollered, it hurt.
Wow.
And I took his pulse, and it was about 100, and so we have that. He volunteered to do that. He wanted it for his information.
It was that Gareth Hughes?
Probably. He's young, kind of. And
sort of green MP.
I think so.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll have to look that up. And talking about lawmakers and MPs, have you read our Rodeo Code of Welfare?
Yes, I did. I met with MPI and NAWAC. That was the second meeting I had here. And before I talked to that group, I read that twice. I read it as a veterinarian, and then I read it again as a lawyer. And both times I came to the same conclusion, that it was protecting rodeo more than it was protecting the animals in it.
No,
so my opening statement at that meeting was just exactly what I said to you, that I had read this code twice, and that it was protecting the rodeo more than it was protecting the animals. And then from that point on, then I went into much of what I've talked to you about with the individual events in the rodeo and how it affected the animals. And I think this code either needs to be done away with or needs to change.
And Winston Peters, our Deputy Prime Minister, was recently quoted as saying, "I'm not so PC that I'm going to be told how I should live my life. It's a matter of choice." So what he's saying is that you know, if I want to go to a rodeo, I'll go to a rodeo. But my first thought is to say, yes, it might be a matter of your choice, but your choice involves someone else.
That's right. That's animal. A bit of a selfish point of view. It's not all about you, Mr. Peters.
No, exactly. Peggy, what are you going to do when you go back to the States, apart from rest up for a bit?
Well, I have a meeting with an anti-trappers group. We're trying to get rid of animal trapping in Vermont. These animals that are trapped, only one in three is a target animals. There's been some endangered species that have been trapped. There's people's cats and dogs that have been trapped. And so I'm working with that. I have a podcast coming up with somebody from Chicago on animal testing. I have a radio show to do on different aspects of animal practice. I'm working with a group of people in Montreal that are fighting the rodeo up there. It never ends. I've always got stuff coming across my desk.
Peggy, did you say you were 82 or 28?
82.
Well, it's so amazing that you've come all this way. For the last several weeks, you've been up and down the country, talking to many different media outlets, talking to groups, impressing everyone with your knowledge and your experience and your humour as a person. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you're doing for animals who continue to be abused and rodeo. I just want to ask one more question.
Sure.
Do you think that rodeo in New Zealand and elsewhere has a future?
Well, I think it's run its course. And, you know, every time I hear somebody say that this is traditional, rodeo is a traditional or a New Zealand tradition, that's kind of bogus. It's the same in the States. They say, oh, this is an American tradition, and it's just ranching. Well, I never saw any of my ranchers ride bulls. I've never seen them rope calves to a point where they injured them, and I've never seen them make their horses buck. So it's not an offshoot of ranching. Matter of fact, many of the ranchers don't like rodeo. Mm. I don't think there's a future for rodeo because you can't make rodeo humane. If you take away all the instruments of pain and fear from these animals, then you're not going to have much of a rodeo. I go out with the police on animal abuse cases in Vermont. I recently went out with one that there was 80 dead animals in a trailer house that this woman had walked away from, and it took a couple of days to do the autopsy, so we put together a really firm case against her. But that's one of the other things I do, is I go out on animal abuse cases with the police. You know, Vermont is such a nice state. It's kind of like New Zealand in many ways, but there's still animal abuse is there. You know, as long as there's people around, there's going to be animal abuse.
Just a final quote regarding what you said about culture and tradition. It comes from Jonathan Safran Foer's book, Eating Animals. And the quote says, "Something having been done just about everywhere, just about always, is no kind of justification for doing it now. Can we tell a new story?" Well, I hope we're going to tell a new story from now on.
So do I. I hope that you folks are really successful with your work that you've done down here. You've done amazing work down here to expose the animal, inherent animal, inhumane treatment of animals. And it's inherent. It's not that they're deliberately doing it, but this is how it's done, you know. The abuse is inherent.
It is inherent, yes. And accepted and normalized.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But it is
so
changing.
So was slavery. Once upon a time, we had slaves in the United States, and that was accepted as normal, too. Well, it's time to move on.
Time to tell a different story.
Absolutely.
Okay, Peggy, go well. Thank you again for everything that you do. And make sure, please, that you rest well and look after yourself, pamper yourself a little bit when you get back to the States.
Well, I might get to it sometime.
There's a lot to do, though, isn't there?
Yeah, there always is. I have a vet meeting coming up, too. I have to keep my license so I can go out with the police on these cruelty cases. Right. So I've got 2 days of veterinary courses to attend to, and there's always something going on. But I like that. I hate sitting around home twiddling my thumbs.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. You're not a thumb twiddler. I don't get that impression. Okay, Peggy. God bless. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Our thanks to Dr. Peggy Larson, and we'll have to be sure to tip our hats to her when rodeo is finally banned in this country for her contribution. if anyone doubts that rodeo has a widespread growing opposition, then they should have been at the rodeo protest today in Kihikihi. I came to record this straight from the demonstration, and there were more than 130 people outside the gates of the rodeo holding stop rodeo signs. And about half of them, apparently, were local from the Waikato, and some were Safe and Sound listeners. So a sincere thank you from us for coming along to defend the animals. Well, that's all we've got time for today. I'll put up various links on my Facebook page, including links to studies that have been done, and also some photos of the rodeo action today. My Facebook page is Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast, and while you're there, please like the page. We'll go out on the promised John Denver song, and I dedicate it to all radio animals. It's called I'm Sorry. Matiwa. Go well. Bye-bye, everyone. See you next week.
Cold here in the city, it always seems that way. Thinking about you almost every day. Thinking about the good times, thinking about the rain, thinking about how bad it feels alone again. I'm sorry for the way things are in China. I'm sorry things ain't what they used to be. More than anything else, I'm sorry for myself. 'Cause you're not here with me. Our friends all ask about you. I say you're doing fine. I expect to hear from you almost any time. They all know I'm crying, I can't sleep at night. They all know I'm dying down deep inside. I'm sorry for all the lies I told you. I'm sorry for the things I didn't say. More than anything else, I'm sorry for myself. I can't believe you went away. I'm sorry if I took some things for granted. I'm sorry for the chains I put on you. More than anything else, I'm sorry for myself. Living without you.